for me, it came to actually down to that fear of loss, of like, I was holding on to control so much because I was scared to lose it. I was scared to lose this thing that provided for my family, provided for, I got two kids and a wife, and mortgage, you know? And so I'm like, I was scared to lose it. And I was like, this is so silly. This is so silly for me. This is robbing me of joy in the now. And here I am, you know, suffering. And so the last like 3 months have been just detaching from that.
All right, welcome, Corey,
to
Deeper Than Dough podcast, man. Mm-hmm. We've been following each other on social media. And we haven't even got to know each other because I was like, let's just do it on the
freaking I've done this a couple podcast. Times now because I just started my podcast too. And actually everybody I've invited, I already knew, but I've had these interactions where it's like, hey, we're meeting for the first time and we're doing a podcast.
Yep. Well, half the time, you know, we catch up, whether you know the person or not, you kind of catch up, get all the background, and then you just go over to get on the podcast.
Sure.
So I was like, I'm just going to ask the questions on the
Let's do the show. It. Yeah.
What's your podcast called?
So it's just The Sales Therapist Podcast. Yep.
Awesome. How long have you been doing that?
We're like 4 episodes and we just released today the one with Kyle Nielsen with Raptive. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
I know Kyle. Cool dude.
Yeah.
New. Give us your background, the sales therapist. Yeah. That's pretty unique.
It is unique. Yeah. I wasn't planning on doing this, you know, in this capacity. Well, I was planning on becoming a therapist. That's what I wanted to do and pursued. Knew that like sophomore year of my undergrad, you know, after talking with professors, doing that type of thing, like what career options. And so I pursued that. And while I was pursuing that in my undergrad through grad school, did sales.
So summer sales. Aptiv?
Not Aptiv. So I actually worked with Moxie for a good chunk of the time. And then I worked as well with like in grad school, I went to Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Which is like an hour north of Oklahoma City and an hour south of Tulsa.
Okay.
But there's not really anything in between. And so not a lot of like, there wasn't a lot of companies to sell for locally there. And I kind of needed to be there.
Okay.
In order to do it, because I was like seeing 20 clients a week as a therapist and in grad school, yada, yada. And so I just approached like a mom and pop shop pest control company in Stillwater. And I worked with them and put on accounts for them.
Oh, that's Stillwater. Okay. We just opened Stillwater.
Did you?
Or it's opening.
Oh, wait, Edmund. Are you you're going to open up Stillwater though?
I think it's already open. They're having their grand opening this week.
Dude, that is so cool. Yeah. That's going to do well.
Yeah, so far
Stillwater's a cool town, man.
Even with this, so we do a soft opening and then a month after we do grand opening. So soft opening is just kind of.
You guys are just going for it.
Well, the reason why I know is because I saw our post today and it says we have 3 grand openings on Saturday.
Stillwater, Oklahoma, baby.
And I didn't know really where Stillwater was.
Yeah, Oklahoma State just played BYU this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And we won. Did you watch that game? Crazy game.
But it was pretty close.
Right? It was very, very close. Yeah, they went overtime and then we
I didn't know they went to overtime.
It was a good game. Anyways, it was fun to get together with people, my buddies that like BYU, and then I like OSU, so we won.
Yeah,
so.
I guess you win either way.
We won either way. Yeah.
if BYU wins, you're like, I'm local here.
Yeah, sure. So that's kind of what I did. I worked in sales all through undergrad, through grad school. That was a way to make money. And I was always a pretty high performer, so that's what provided for school. I also was at risk of feeling just more emotionally drained than I wanted to feel. And so that was like my little gremlin that kept following me in sales is like, dude, this guy's way talented, high performer, like crushing it, but also like two highs and lows, right? Yep. So like when I'm feeling good, selling lights out, when I'm not feeling good. And that was like more in the beginning, you know, I was that typical rookie that came out and just like did really well, but then also had like, why is this guy just bageling, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was just highs and lows. And so at the end of each time, you know, I just feel like more emotionally drained. And then the typical advice, like, you know, be positive, do your own routine, do that stuff. And I was just like, it just didn't, doing those things helped. It just didn't solve like the deeper issues for me that sales was targeting. Like my insecurities, my parts of me that I'm like, wow, this is challenging and pushing me in ways that most jobs never will or never have, you know?
Have you seen similar insecurities in the industry of sales? Like as you're coaching and—
Oh, like the stuff I went through? Or like, what do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, whether it's what you went through or if you've coached or done therapy to so many dozens of people. Are there underlining
100%.
Okay, what are they?
100%.
Because I'm gonna tell you if I have them or not.
Well,
because I probably do.
Well, all of us. I think that's one reason I love sales, is because sales, you did sales, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you see it all the time. Guys struggle more in a job like sales than any other job, because sales targets themselves, like them, on a deeper level.
Well, it's every day you start from zero, right?
Yeah.
Or negative, because you have a cancellation you wake up to and then you're like, freak, am I even worth, do I have any self-worth?
Yeah, totally.
But did it sell anything today?
Yeah. That's all the stuff from like pressures, anxieties, or just like the constant need to perform, that type of stuff. But then it also, targets like fear of being unwanted, fear of not being good enough, fear of, not having enough freedom, or, all these things, or wanting security and support. And, you're attracted to sales because I was just talking with a client today about this, of they have this deep need to feel just like secure and supported. And so they over obsess around finances. Like, 9-to-5 is actually really attractive to them, but they chose sales because it's more freedom, the potential. And so that's where they went. However, it leaves them really vulnerable because they're feeling like they actually don't have the security. And so it creates a lot of anxiety, and then they're over anxious, and now it's getting in the way of them selling and all that stuff. So it's like stuff like that where I'm just like, it wasn't until becoming a therapist that I'm like, here I am seeing, no joke, I'm seeing like 25 clients a week, traditionally, like couples, families, individuals. And then I'm also selling because I need money because we're poor.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, putting these two worlds together, just grinding, working hard, right? And putting these two worlds, and I'm like, and I remember actually sitting across the room from a couple, and here we are, we just did this, like, it finally clicked, and we created this change with the couple. And I was like, holy crap. For some reason, it just hit me. I'm like, this is the exact thing that sales people freaking go through. And no one's solving this. Nobody's talking about this. No one's addressing this. No one's working through this. And so then that's when I just transitioned. I started doing like tons of free trainings for companies, just seeing if it would work, and it does. And then I just went all in. So,
Are you mainly focused on pest control, or is it?
No, solar, pest, alarms, tech sales. I'd say 70% of my clients are in door-to-door sales. Okay. And then the other 30 are like entrepreneurs and tech sales.
There's a buddy of mine, cause I had a solar company. So I did pest and then satellite, Vivint.
Okay.
Solar. And then I had a solar sales org, and one of the guys that absolutely amazing. Anyways, he did similar thing. Not a licensed therapist. Sure. His name's Earl Capule.
Oh, gratitude mindset. Yeah.
Anyways,
I've heard of Earl. Yeah.
Absolutely. Earl's awesome. And he's also doing, I actually spoke with him earlier today about
very cool
all the same thing. And he's like, I was training people and there's fulfillment and joy around that. But really, like, I feel like it could have a bigger impact by teaching people mindset. Yeah. Anyways, it was great. It is. I mean, other than you and Earl, I don't know if anyone else doing that. And it's such a big industry.
Yeah, it is a huge industry. And that's where I'm like, more of us, the merrier.
Yeah.
There's plenty enough space for more of what I do. And I'm scaling right now. I'm bringing on coaches and therapists. This year is my first year hiring people, which is weird for me.
Sweet.
But which has brought a lot of weird emotions for me too. That's like, I should pick your brain on how you've navigated through some of that, because that's been challenging. Letting go of control, paying people, all that stuff.
No, anyway, it's all terrible.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard emotionally. But I'm also like, I can't keep doing the business how I'm doing it, or I'll become exhausted. So,
and you mentioned Moxie.
I
started
working with them.
Following, I think their founder.
Yeah,
and his story. I mean, I'm talking Jason last week that he had a daughter that died by suicide, and now he's a big advocate for mental health, anti-suicide, things like that. Do you feel like, was Moxie one of the first clients, and did you feel like you got along with him because you had similar,
that's a really
mental health
question. I've worked with a lot of individual reps at Moxie.
Okay.
Company-wide or branch-wide, I haven't actually worked with which is funny.
He'd be a good one, man.
They would be, I initially kind of tried pitching them in the very beginning stages when it was just like, hey, this is an idea. Mm-hmm. Let's go see. And it just didn't really make sense or fall through. And then I just got busy with other clients. Yeah. And I landed some other, and that's one thing I haven't fully done yet, is like actually marketing and like tried to earn a ton of clients, that type of stuff. Now it's just like, I've been careful. Like, I can only take on so much. And so I've tried to balance that. That's why I'm scaling.
Yep. So you got to into that. If I heard you correctly, you were doing the door to door. You already had your kind of target at being a therapist.
Yeah, it was a master's of marriage and family therapy. So I was supposed to I was going to do a couples practice, open a couples clinic. And I still love working with couples. Like that's like my jam. And I miss that a ton actually. Maybe someday I'll merge in some cases or do marriage retreats or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I love that. And that was the plan. And then God was like, actually try this. And here's an idea. You don't have to pursue it, but if you pursue it, I think it'll work out. And I pursued it.
Has it been hard getting clients? Because it's usually like 20-year-olds that don't see the value in investing in themselves.
Yeah.
Cause that's what, when we were recruiting, that was like,
dude, totally.
Who cares about the freaking money? Like it's about who you're becoming and your sales technique and your mindset and your emotional IQ, because it takes a lot to do the sales, but to do, I guess it's all about balancing the highs and lows. Highs can't be that high and your lows can't be that low.
Sure.
And just going with it. Is that been, I guess, how do you overcome that when a 20-year-old's like, oh, I'm doing fine. I don't want to, you know?
Yeah. I definitely have a lot of my clientele. I definitely get like some people that are just starting out in sales and this is a problem I'm trying to solve actually too, is I definitely get like your rookies here and there that are young guys that are willing to invest in themselves. It's far and few between. A lot of guys I get are like people have been in the industry for 3 years, 2 to 3 years, 4 years. They're like, hey, I need this to look different. This has been a problem that's holding me back and I need to start seeing some changes. Or I got to figure this out, you know? Yeah. And so they see the value. And so they're willing. Now getting over the mental health hurdle was actually challenging. I think timing wise in my business was really good. Cause it was like right pretty much at COVID.
Okay.
And so companies and people were starting to talk mental health a little bit more. So people became warm, open to it. However, I didn't make money in my business for the first like 8 months. And the reason was is just cause I think it was, I was still figuring out my offer and all that type of stuff and how I was structuring my business. But the other side was just like getting people to see the value of like, hey, this is actually something that will help performance.
Yeah.
And then once that happened and people saw it, got results, testimonials, once you get one cool dude, you know, that I got working with me and then people are like, oh, that guy's working with you.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, maybe I'll book a call with them too. So it's just kind of like snowballed because of that. Once you get, you know, people to feel like it's cool. Once sales guys think it's cool, then you're fine, you know, but getting over the cool hump was really hard. And maybe it's not cool yet, but I like to think people are thinking it's cooler and better. Yeah.
I mean, and even financially, like to break it down to be like, okay, this is what your cost is.
Yeah.
How many sales do you have to get to pay for me? You know,
totally.
One, that I'm not going to help you get one more sell a week or a month or whatever the metrics are.
Yeah.
But I think it is, I imagine it'd be hard just bringing that conversation and be like, hey, because you don't want to admit you're wrong. As soon as you're seeing a therapist, you know, it's like, oh, I'm trying to fix something, which is completely fine. But a lot of people, I think straight away.
And that's why the way I pitch it is like, dude, seeing a therapist or coach, whatever it may be, it's all about like understanding yourself on a deeper level and having a place to process. I have places I go and process my thoughts and emotions because I'm human and I feel a bunch of crap, right? And I'm process oriented. And so I let clients even voice message me in between sessions, which is pretty unique too. So instead of just our calls, like if they're in the moment,
so I could hit you up like 3 hours ago and be like, Corey, dude, this is a shitty day.
Yeah. And I actually have a process for
need some help, bro.
Because that right there, like, oh, it's a shitty day, whatever. Like I would have a process for it of like, actually, if they come to me complaining, I say, try again, kind of, because I want them to come to me self-aware. So instead of like, hey, it's a crappy day, it's something like, hey, part of me is feeling inadequate. This is, you know, I got 3 more hours left. I know I need to work hard, but part of me is really having a hard time. Isn't that better?
Yeah. I mean, it's teaching them to
fish.
Teaching
them self,
right?
Yeah, it's teaching them that self-awareness, that process. Like, what am I feeling? What's going on? Let me take ownership rather than this emotion on me, right? Because a lot of guys will feel inadequate. They're not aware. They don't even know they're feeling it.
Yep.
And then 20 minutes later, they're in their car or they're lollygagging or they're complaining or they're venting to somebody, playing victim. And it's like, now you're telling your brain just this stupid pattern that in 2 months, no wonder you're drained, dude.
Yeah.
No wonder you're quote unquote burnout. I don't love the word burnout, but no wonder you're at that weird level of emotional exhaustion that you're like thinking super irrationally. We'll call it that.
I like it. It's starting with, again, teaching people how to identify their own emotions.
That's a huge part.
My daughter goes to Windsor Elementary. She's in first grade and they have the beach there. She'll tell me, and she goes to the beach, which is a wellness center. And that's actually part of the nonprofit that we're doing at Dirty Dough is planning on funding one wellness, mental health wellness
center. That's right. I saw that. That's amazing.
So anyways, we didn't pay for that one. That was already up. But I think this was just a week ago. She said, I went to the beach, you know, so as the way that it works, and she's telling me this, she goes, you go in there and it's 1 to 5, like what intensity of the emotion? So she said that she was level 4.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what were you feeling? She goes, stressed. And I was like, I didn't know us, you know, like what's causing, it doesn't matter, but at least she's getting used to like
totally
identifying it.
Yeah.
And then she's in there for, it's only like 10 minutes and then you leave and she was a level 1. But she's in first grade and they're teaching her this.
And body regulation, breathe, all that stuff, and just awareness.
So it's identifying emotions going in and then whatever activity you want to choose.
Cool.
Breathing exercises, whatever, meditation, which I'm not sure that they're doing meditation or anything.
But probably coloring, even, maybe it's right? playing, coloring. That is meditation in a way.
Yep. Totally. And then identifying on the way out. So then you're seeing what works, which is really cool. But
this is her school.
Yeah, Windsor Elementary in Orem.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and she's first grade, so they just get to pop in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're super cool. I didn't really know about these until just maybe 2-3 years
and
that ago.
That absolutely should be a thing, because I talk about that with clients all the time of like, it's funny, sometimes like, well, I'll start working with a client like maybe 3 sessions in, and they're like, dude, why am I now just learning this stuff? And I'm like, because we weren't taught this crap, dude.
This is what we were taught. Man up.
Sweep it under. Don't know what you're feeling or whatever. It's like, dude, no, it's totally cool.
Yeah. For when I started seeing a therapist, which has been maybe 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
It really shifted the mindset of like, you have business mentors and or friends or family, investors, advice, whatever. But it's all about the financial, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, we all know at our core that money's not going to get us anything. Sure. I mean, money's a tool to get us something to then maybe purchase something. But why do we want to purchase something? So we could feel a certain way.
Yeah.
So the therapist has helped me kind of cut through all that bull crap and just like, what's the emotion you want to feel?
Yeah.
And let's just focus on that. And that has been like, especially we're raising capital and we've raised capital a few times. And it's, you hear some people like, don't give up equity. And then you talk with a therapist that doesn't give a damn about if you have equity more or less. And it's just like, well, what are you after? And it's like, well, I'm after
community or connection.
Community, or more joint fulfillment on a day-to-day basis. I want to be with my family every day on the weekends. And he's like, okay, well then, well, who cares about an extra point or two of equity? Yeah. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. You're right. So for me, I'm a big advocate of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's
for business ownership or sales, but especially for business ownership, it's just like, you have to figure out, you have to have the right target.
Yeah.
And if you're not talking emotions, then by default, my belief is you're 1,000% off.
Dude, 100%.
If your target isn't so on true. Based on an emotion, you're going to be disappointed when you get to your target because it's not going to get you what you want to get.
Yeah.
So anyways, man,
no,
that's really cool. That's really cool that you're doing that.
Thanks.
Why did you decide to be a therapist?
I moved towards becoming a therapist because I think a couple different things would be at a really young age, I grew up in Washington, in like a smaller ish town. And my dad was, he had like a local, like owned a grocery store there in town. Yeah. And everybody kind of knew each other type of thing. And I just had a lot of friends. I was the guy that people opened up to, like at a young age. So I'm talking like 12 years old, 10 years old, like buddies. Just, I was the one that just kept it real with, you know?
And why do you feel like you're very empathetic?
I don't know if it was like, I also give that, like I try to just be real. That's like something that they felt comfortable enough.
Like vulnerability.
Talking. Yeah.
You being vulnerable gives them permission to be vulnerable.
It could totally be that. But even at a young age, was I always vulnerable? I don't know. I think I also just maybe was just gave off that vibe that, hey, I'm a safe spot, I guess. And I always felt honored by that. And then just as I kept going through life in school and served an LDS mission, and I think it just, and then I remember 16, actually, I was, my mom thought it would be a good idea. She's like, hey, you should go see a therapist. My dad was struggling with, like, he's a recovering alcoholic, and we were just going through some family stuff, you know? And so I went and saw a therapist, and I, keep in mind, I was 16.
Yeah.
But he's like this, I don't know, maybe 60 years old dude. And he starts out, and I, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm like, this guy's a freaking dingus, dude. I'm like, but, and also as a 16 year old, I'm thinking, dude, this guy has a pretty cool job. Like, if he was good at this, if he was good at this,
this would be cool.
This would be cool. Yeah. And then as a 16 year old, I remember thinking, I'm like, I think I could be good at this. And obviously he probably was great at the job. I just didn't, you know, I was 16, didn't connect with him, you know? And so I thought that was everything. Right. But so I think little experiences like that, and then just helping people, having vulnerable conversations, I just felt drawn to it. And then I pursued it. Started taking classes. I really loved the marriage and family route. There's a lot of routes you can become a therapist. Lots of different licenses, but licensed marriage and family therapist was one I felt really drawn to. And yeah.
Now, is the education that you receive in the training, is it geared on certain principles?
Yeah.
I guess I don't even know how to ask that. Like, I've been doing a meditation app called, it's Waking Up, Sam Harris. Have you heard of that guy?
I haven't.
He's awesome, man.
I should, yeah.
He's a neuroscientist.
It sounds somewhat familiar,
really, but really good podcast, but also a really good meditation app because it's practical meditation, but there's also, you know, so many courses on theory and philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
And I like to understand. I don't want to just like imagine
hey, you should debrief.
A ball going through my, you know, whatever, the meditation. I want to like know
how
why
does this
I'm
impact
doing
my
that.
Brain?
Yes. And then and the more the practicality, and a lot of it is based on Buddhist principles of like the letting go, no control, Nirvana type of just like letting go of attachments and how to do that. And then, and a lot of it is also like Stoic principles, which are pretty similar.
Yeah.
Anyways, is there anything
there's
like
totally,
that?
There's totally principles, guidelines. Yeah, I'm the same way. I love understanding the why behind things, and especially neuroscience is fascinating. That's one I think that that's where I always focus more education for me, because there's just so much you can learn and pull out of, but and relearn and that type of stuff. But I'd say marriage and family therapist, a big focus was understanding where we all come from in our family, or of like in our family, in our relationships and tendencies we have, ways we developed, understanding those things and how maybe they play a role and impact us today. And then also taking, there's a concept called self-differentiation, but it's like, this is maybe tendencies I have, but I need to differentiate from some of these tendencies. How do I take ownership of these things rather than let them be a common theme throughout my whole life? Tell me, take the good and the bad, understand those things and become who I want to become, right? Because especially in like a marriage, you're bringing your personalities, but also both your family systems.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool to understand yourself and how you are within relationships and emotions and thoughts and all those things and upbringing and bringing that to you today and then your goals and all that stuff. And yeah.
I had somebody else on, Wes Christensen, and he's a performance coach, high performance psychologist or something. Anyways, he was talking about the shadow work. Of whatever bothers you of somebody else, it's because you have something similar, if not the exact same, in yourself, you know? So it's, I don't like XYZ because they're late or something like that. And it's like, why does that bother you so much? Anyways, I thought that was super interesting. And now I'm like evaluating any negative emotion that I have. And I'm like, what does that mean about me?
And there's pros and cons. Like sometimes it's little and sometimes it's bigger and, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, it's totally okay. I think that's the most best thing is like no shame in what you feel. It's what you do with what you feel that matters. Right. And self-awareness is just an awesome, like, why not? Why wouldn't I try to understand?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I have to shame myself. It just means, hey, cool.
Yeah.
And now I get to choose what to do with it, you know?
Yeah. I like it. Shifting gears a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you had any mental health challenges yourself that you're open to sharing? and then how you, I guess, overcame those things.
That's a really, really great question. I don't get asked that a lot. And you think maybe it's because like, oh, he's a therapist. He shouldn't. But dude, I totally feel.
I don't think there's anybody.
Yeah, there's not. You know, whoever you
are. I'm just testing
are.
If you're going to lie to me.
No. This is a great, this is a great question. The thing that comes to my mind is entrepreneurship has pushed me a lot in so many great ways. And then it has been hard mentally and emotionally for me and others. I'm so grateful for those things. But most recently I noticed that I'd probably say the last, like a year ago, I could have scaled and brought people on and I chose not to. I just said, I'll just work more. And so I chose to work more. And it's like, I'll put that off. I'm not ready to do that. Which I was like, looking back, I'm like, whatever. It's fine. But it kind of kicked me in the butt, you know, like 6-7 months after that choice, here I am working more, right? And having not scaled yet and starting to, I would say the word would be suffering. Here I am making money, have a successful business, profitable business, helping people, love what I do, but I'm suffering. Right? Which shouldn't add up.
Yeah.
Because here I am and starting my business, not making anything yet, trying, learning, failing, pursuing, like building relationships. And I think I really enjoyed that. It was hard suffering, but it was like a good suffering, yeah. You know? And I would have looked at this me and been like, dude, that's what I was working for. Why are you suffering? Like, this is all you wanted was to build it to this point. Right. But then I built it to this point, what I envisioned. And scaling was brought up a lot of targeted hard parts for me of just like letting go of control. You know, getting back into a, you know, having to dip into that abundance of like, it's okay to hire people, pay people well, take care of them, you know, getting over that and move in that direction. I think it just challenged me and I was just fighting it. And I was just pushing it off so long that it just was creating, I wasn't enjoying also working as much as I was, but I wanted to hold on to that control so much that I just kept doing it. Does that make sense?
Yep. Oh no. And yeah. So that's very relatable.
It created that suffering. Right. And then, you know, when I've really kind of learned about suffering too, and actually I'm part of like a men's mastermind group now too. And it's Jimmy's, okay. Jimmy Rex, and We Are the They.
Yeah.
And I joined his 50-man group recently. And he actually was talking on one of our weekly group calls, which kind of, which was really cool. He was talking about how one of his mentors or whatever was talking to him about suffering and how suffering comes down to three fears. And it's fear of loss. So suffering will always come from these three fears. One of them, fear of loss. So like, I have this awesome business and I'm fearing losing it, right? Yep. Or I have this home, I got these whatever, and I'm fear of losing it. Fear of not having is the second one. So I need this job, I want this job, or I need the X amount of money, or I need the car, or whatever it may be, or I need to get in a home for me and my family. Fear of not having creates suffering in the moment, right? And then the fear of being less. So it's, wow, this guy, or I'm comparing myself, I'm not good enough, whatever, and now I fear of being less, which creates suffering in the moment of the journey and the now. And so my most recent mental health journey has been to, life is too short to suffer. And whether I'm scaling or not, like, why would I suffer? Why can't I just be okay in the moment and be happy?
Yeah.
And for me, it came to actually down to that fear of loss of like, I was holding on to control so much because I was scared to lose it. I was scared to lose this thing that provided for my family. I got two kids and a wife and mortgage, you know? And so I'm like, I was scared to lose it. And I was like, this is so silly. This is so silly for me. This is robbing me of joy in the now. And here I am, you know, suffering. And so the last like 3 months have been just detaching from that and just being okay. And I've had to snap back into it, just being okay more with, and it sounds so silly, but that's why self-awareness is so powerful is, by identifying it as suffering, that alone actually allowed me to detach. Because up to this point, for some reason, I was processing my emotions up to this point, but I was calling it overwhelmed, out of control, stressed, insecure, which were there, but suffering put a new term on it that just was like, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing. I'm freaking suffering. And it just allowed me to like, that is stupid. I don't need to suffer. I'm actually, because the truth is I am happy with where my business is at, where my life is at, where my family's at. Like I'm happy. So why am I suffering? There's no choice. There's no reason to be.
Yeah. I like that word, the suffering. So that Sam Harris guy that I was mentioning, his listening to his podcast and like his purpose in life was, I really geared my mission statement and the company's mission statement around that, kind of reversed a little bit because I wanted to avoid the word suffering, but his is to ease human suffering.
Yeah.
Just very simple, ease human suffering. Yeah. So I was like, man, I really like that. And that resonates with me, but I don't want to use the word suffering because I feel like people stray away from that.
They do,
so that's where I came for with the, so it's define joy and fulfillment despite life's dirtiness.
It's not the best marketing word.
Yeah. But it's the same thing. What's the opposite of suffering? Well, if you have more joy and fulfillment, hopefully you're suffering less. But I really like that the suffering word. And as soon as you admit that, I think I went through something of, oh, I'm just really stressed.
Yeah.
Really stressed. And then I'm like, no, this is anxiety.
Yeah.
Like this sucks. This is actually anxiety. And as soon as I labeled it for what I think it actually is, it's a lot easier to overcome rather than just I don't have anxiety. I'm just stressed.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you're stressed every single day, all the time, that's,
it's probably
different than the anxiety thing. There's a guy named Alan Watts that I listen to. I take some ketamine sometimes, if you're into any psychedelics, and I listen to this guy.
Cool.
And I just download everything. Anyways, he says, desire is the root of all suffering. You can't have any suffering if you don't have
the
desire. So like, what were your three
fears? Fear of loss. Fear of not having. And then fear of being less.
So like fear of loss. Because the example you used was business. Like, I desire to keep my business. If you don't care to keep your business, obviously you still want it, but like you let that go, then that fear also
there's power. Dissipates. I think the word also is just like faith, you know, like faith, I think is religious or not. It's like it's a principle of life. So you can live it in a religious sense. You can live it in a business sense. You can live it in a family, but faith is just like trusting and not knowing, but having the courage to keep moving forward. And I think faith is a mindset that like people that really, really live in a faithful mindset, happier.
Yeah.
Happier.
Because you are realizing that you don't have control.
Yeah.
Which we don't have any freaking control.
Yeah.
This same guy was talking about.
but you're moving forward still.
Yeah.
You're still taking that. It's not that you let go and you trust, but you're trusting. You know you got to do your part. You got to work hard. But you're having faith. You're trusting. Beautiful.
This guy was talking about the religious aspect of life and like having something as your rock and your foundation and this and that. Cause I was raised LDS and all of that as well. Anyways, he says, well, if you have something to turn back to, if you have a foundation, that's not faith because you're always going to that thing. So he's saying rather than having a foundation, true faith is letting go completely. And then now you're just, you know, learning how to swim without learning how to swim, but you don't have anything solid to hold on to, which I thought, you know, that was a little different mindset of like what faith is, but it does, you know, whether it's religious content or not, it's trusting that whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
And you're doing your part and working hard. And and that's where I think there's a concept around, and I talk about this with almost every client, especially, I mean, it's in like I have like a course and like content too that they have access to. But so if they don't get it from my mouth, they get it from that. But it's just values-based living. And I'm really pro on like trusting, like living your values and trusting that if you do that, like a lot of things, like the rest will come into place. So that'd be like you value growth, you value, you know, being vulnerable and real with people and having deeper connections.
How many people... Right? Do you see though that actually have these values already in place, or is that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't actually know they have things they value, but they don't know like what values they're living and choosing to live. Yeah,
I would guess that 90,
like faith, 95%
of people like have not thought about it.
No,
like what am I after? Like what truly do I want in life? whether that's, you know, your values, your mission statement, whatever, but I don't feel like most people have gone through that. Is that something that you help them go through?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I have mine the values that I have and I live by. And yeah, I help them kind of create that and live those and also like invite them like, hey, if it doesn't line up with your values, really challenge if you want to do it.
Yeah.
Like if it doesn't line up with your values, you'll probably be misaligned. 100%. And so for me with scaling, for example, like what I valued is connection, community. And so that for me, I'm like, I'm lonely. I'm by myself. I'm doing this business. I don't value the way I'm running this thing. I do in other ways, sure, like quality, working with reps, all the things. But in terms of like the future, I'm like, I don't actually, this doesn't line up with where I want it to be.
Yeah.
So I have to let go of the control because that lines up with my values.
Yeah.
And I will be happy.
But if you didn't have your values, then you're just
it's a guide. It's a compass.
I feel weird. I feel, you know, like unaligned, but I don't even know why.
Yeah.
So I like the focus on the values.
It helps a ton too, just with like, you know, I think there's a lot of, people struggling spiritually of like, what do they believe in?
Uh-huh.
You know? And if it is God, what does that entail? And so I think also while people are navigating through that, you can still have values that you live. Right. And so for me, a lot of my values do align with God, but they're my values, right? They just happened to also align with God. And so I think it's really cool practice too for all religions, all beliefs, all people. Values is something we all can agree on that we live. You can't get around, oh, I just don't have things I value.
Yep.
Like, no, of course you do. You're human. Of course you do. You have morals and values. And so it's just understanding what they are and living them, you know, and being honest with yourself about what those are.
I like it. Just finding those values. I guess everybody has them, but if you don't take the time to think about it, then you're like, sometimes you're aligned and sometimes you aren't. And you don't even know why, because you haven't, you don't have the ruler.
A big one for me was identifying, and I'd say like, try to get as descriptive as you can. Uh-huh. Like for me, like when I say I value vulnerability and deeper connection, that's because I do. So for me, that's being real, showing who I am, not being scared to like share a mental health challenge that I've had and just be authentic about it, you know?
Yeah.
And just not trying to put up a front, whatever it may be, just that means more to me. And I like getting that from people. And so that makes me happy. Uh-huh. So why would I be fake?
Yeah.
Right?
No, I like it. All right. Last question.
Yeah.
Cause I could talk to you forever.
Yeah,
We're gonna have to schedule another time just to hang out. What's the legacy you want to leave behind?
Oh man.
What do you want to be remembered by?
That's a really, really, really good question. I think for me, something that I'm learning, what I want to be remembered for is, it sounds silly, but the thing coming to my mind is, I think as long as I am happy with, this is a little bit, probably a little bit different, but I think really what I'd want to be remembered by is my own internal view of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and then trusting that if it's for businesses or the people I've helped or for the impact or the, you know, the nonprofits or whatever I end up accomplishing in life, great.
Uh-huh.
But I think what I'd want to be remembered for is actually more of a internal thing is I lived in line with who I wanted to be. And I stayed close to God and I listened and I lived my values of who I wanted to be. And I would be, I think at the end of life, I just would want to be really confident that like, that is, I lived the life that I was supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, and cause I think if I do that, whatever legacy is there, it's going to unfold and happen.
I really like that answer because you're not attaching it to an outcome outside yourself.
It's internal.
Because what you just said, all of that is perspective, right? Am I aligning with whether that's X amount of dollars or businesses or people helped or it's just, did I align with myself? And you have complete control over that rather than I want to be a billionaire so I could feed the hungry. It's like,
Yeah.
You
know, it might not. Yeah.
It might not happen. But anyways, I really like that because it is straight internal rather than external. And that's something that you can always control through perspective.
I think that's how I try to live my life for sure.
I love it.
It helps.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Dude, man. Thanks for having me, man.
How can listeners connect with you?
Instagram is probably the best way right now. The sales therapist is the tagline.
You can watch him with his goofy hat on backwards. I love your
stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You doing like silly things and anybody doing silly things and just being authentic, it's like, okay, well, this guy's weird. And so I could be weird. Corey's weird.
Yeah.
That means Ben, like I could be weird.
Yeah, I throw the sales bro personality in there.
I love it though. Yeah. It's great content. So yeah, definitely give him a follow.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Okay. Thank you.